When it comes to health, rural America lags far behind the rest of the country. The reasons are complex, from demographics to doctor shortages to the sheer distances that many people have to travel to see a provider. These challenges are the focus of a series we start tonight, with support from the Pulitzer Center and in collaboration with the Global Health Reporting Center. William Brangham reports from West Virginia for our series, Rural RX.
And this is where I grew up. I've lived in Morgan County my entire life. We're up here in a mountain. You're an hour from your nearest Walmart. So some people may not want to live that way, but to us, this is home.
This mountain, this slice of West Virginia, has been home to Nurse Angie Gray's family for six generations.
Hey, Aaron. Hi, Patty.
Gray is visiting a family friend, Patty, who has chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. She struggles to afford her medications and cannot live without her oxygen. The power at their house is unreliable, so there's a generator at the ready so Patty can always breathe.
It's hard finding someone good around this area to help you.
Gray says these kinds of struggles are everywhere here.
So that might be an option that can help. We take care of our own. I always say that West Virginians are all connected. You know, we're all family. But really my mission is to advocate for people who are so vulnerable that they don't have a voice. When you look at West Virginia specifically, we have the highest numbers of chronic disease, diabetes, heart disease. We're losing so many of our people to death and early to death.
On nearly every health metric, rural America fares worse than the rest of the country, from life expectancy to maternal mortality. Compared to urban areas, rural residents are a third more likely to die of diabetes, about 20% more likely to die from heart disease, and more likely to die of cancer or accidents. There are higher smoking rates here and fewer people with health insurance. In many health categories, West Virginia, a heavily rural state, ranks dead last. These are the challenges that Dr. Michael Laudner and his colleagues face. He's chairman of the emergency department at Berkeley Medical Center in Martinsburg.
For as many of the myths, or some of those myths are not urban legends, they're reality. The idea that someone waited 4 days having a heart attack at home because they couldn't get transportation and they wouldn't call 911 because it costs too much, even though it's free in most of the regions, but they don't know that.
People in rural areas are less likely to have access to good quality health care. Compared to urban areas, rural America has fewer nurses and fewer than half as many doctors per person. People have to go farther to access care, unless they have someone like Angie Gray to help them.
So if you already struggle for transportation or you live in a more rural area that's going to take you an hour to access health care, some places in West Virginia 2 hours to access health care, you know, you're less likely to make it there and to get help.
When people do come for care, they're often using the emergency room as a doctor's office, something Dr. Laudner and his team have turned into a virtue.
For a lot of those folks, we can actually use our emergency department sort of as a primary care office sometimes. And so a number of those people were here with kids with fevers. So we're giving them antipyretics and we're doing swabs. Why do you need to be in a room doing that? And on any given day, you have 3 rooms with 8-year-olds that have flu, 2 overdoses, and then 5 people who are elderly and looking for admission because they're chronic diseases.
In some cases, he says, that emergency room visit is the first time a patient has seen a doctor in their entire life.
Some of the folks I see have never had healthcare ever, and they're in their 60s.
Never had healthcare, meaning they don't have a doctor.
Correct. Not only do they not have a doctor, they may not have had one as a kid growing up. They may have never been vaccinated. For them, the opportunity might just to meet a physician for the first time. Or they come in and you say, do you have any history of high blood pressure, diabetes, things like that? They're like, no. And they're hypertensive, their sugar's 400, and you're like, oh, you've never been tested before, so you don't know that you have those things.
Not going to the doctor for preventive care is not uncommon in parts of West Virginia, a pattern that is repeated across rural America.
If you want someone to come to the hospital, you probably got to get them here. If you're going to put them to dialysis and they can't go, you might as well not write the prescription. If you're going to give them $700 worth of antibiotics or hypertensive medicine, just realize they're going to throw it away because they can't afford it. I felt like places I had been in the world doing disaster work were better off than certain people who lived here. Certain percentage of my people don't have indoor plumbing still. Access to power in certain regions here is still not 100% available. There's a lot of places that we have ambulances go into, and they show up here and they're like, I don't know if they're going to have a medical problem, but you can't send them back to that. And you're like, to what? And they'll show you pictures of, you know, they're living in a place that is rat infested. There's raccoons inside the house. There's feces everywhere. Like, this is where they live, and this is the best they can do.
We go out and meet them where they are.
Since getting to a hospital or a clinic can be difficult for so many, Dr. Madison Humerick goes to them, delivering preventive and essential care straight out of her toolbox.
It looks like you've had ear infections in there before, huh?
Yeah.
We probably prevented a couple urgent care visits today, which
was... Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. I mean, we got to prescribe some antibiotics, so it was convenient for them. We're just going right back to old school family medicine, which is what we love.
Urgent care out in the open.
Urgent care out on the street, yeah.
Peer recovery, this is Jamaica.
At times, practitioners here say the need can be overwhelming.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Especially when it comes to mental health. Rural Americans report higher levels of depression and suffer suicide rates more than 30% higher than people who live in cities. And yet, for those people, it's harder to find help. Rural areas have fewer than half as many psychologists per capita.
It means that we have a year plus wait list in our outpatient clinic. It was recently 2 years. I think we've gotten that down to a year and a half for adults.
Dr. Samantha Deemer is a clinical psychologist who works out of the Harpers Ferry Family Medicine Center. In atypical fashion, she embeds with this family practice to make it seamless for patients who want mental health care. But elsewhere, people face big obstacles.
It means for kids, they're waiting a year plus for specialty services like testing for ADHD or developmental disabilities. Our neuropsychologist's wait list is incredibly long. So just a lack of available services overall.
So people who could be in a crisis-like circumstance,
yeah,
would call and say, hey, can I get help? And they're told,
go to the emergency room, because that's all we can offer, yeah.
Can you start browning the chicken while I get the vegetables cut up?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
We caught back up with Nurse Angie Gray after she visited her friend Patty.
How typical is that circumstance of what we saw today?
Typical, very typical, yeah. A lot of people that I know personally, a lot of patients that we have, you know, they're all dealing with that, trying to be able to afford to get their medications, trying to get to good health care.
Hoping the power stays on.
Hoping the power stays on so that you're not out of your oxygen.
Grace says these problems are ultimately fixable, but not if we tackle them piecemeal, one patient at a time.
There's a parable in public health. You know, there's a villager walks up to the river and there's a baby floating down the river. So he pulls the baby out. Another one comes floating down the river, so he pulls the baby out. All the villagers are gathering around the river and all these babies start coming down the river and they're jumping in, pulling them out until one villager walked upstream to see who was throwing the babies in the river. And we need to get more upstream.
Gray admits it's an uphill climb, but it's one they're taking step by step. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm William Brangham in rural West Virginia.